The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Kiplinger.com and also Money.com. From Money.com, four best money moves for January 2023. We won't judge you if the money chores on your year-end list fell to the wayside as you were dodging snowstorms, rescheduling airfare, grabbing last-minute gifts, visiting family, and who knows what else. But now that the hustle and bustle of the holiday season is officially over, you can take advantage of this, hopefully, calmer period to get a handle on your money matters and start off the new year on the right foot. For January's installment of Money Moves article, we'll share tips on setting up successful long-term resolutions as well as some timely money savings advice on heating bills and electric vehicles. Here are the smartest money moves to make this month. Number one, craft an attainable resolution for 2023. January, of course, a time of self-reflection and goal setting. Money-related goals are among the most common New Year's resolutions. The hitch is, we're collectively pretty terrible at following through with them. So much that our inability to complete our goals has spurred an unofficial holiday, Quitter's Day, the second Friday of each new year. This year, Quitter's Day falls on January the 13th. So how do you push past Quitter's Day and actually attain your goals? Well, it has a little less to do with mustering up willpower and more to do with creating realistic goals with plans to stay motivated throughout the year. Research shows that specific goals are better than vague ones, as are ones that bring us gratification in our day-to-day. Think checkpoints sprinkled throughout your goals timeline that allow you to celebrate, even though you haven't accomplished the overall resolution. Bonus points if you can rope in a friend so there's a little shared accountability. All this is to say, instead of making your goal, quote, save up enough money to travel abroad, try something more tailored like set aside $65 per paycheck to cover the plane ticket to Scotland for the trip with, and insert your best friend's name. With a specific goal like this, you'll get the satisfaction of seeing the amount you've saved up increase each year you get paid, increase each time you get paid. And if your best friend is saving right along with you, the mutual motivation can help carry you both across the finish line. It'll be no time before you're both traipsing around the castles in Inverness. The same advice applies to less fun resolutions, too. If your big goal is to, say, paying off your credit card debt, figure how much of each paycheck you can afford to put towards that specific objective, and then plan a small reward for yourself to look forward to when you're a quarter or halfway there. Regardless of your specific money resolution, consider setting up automatic deposits to a savings account or automatic payments towards your debts. Now, while you're motivated, so that your goal is less likely to be thrown off track by a less committed version of yourself in the future. Number two, automate your investments for 2023. While we're on the topic of automating your money goals, here's a task that may have fallen off your year-end list, setting up auto-investing. Employer-sponsored retirement plans like 401ks and 403bs tend to automatically pull a pre-designated amount of money from your paychecks. If you aren't already enrolled in your company's retirement plan, you should consider doing so by asking your HR department or signing up directly through your provider. And if you are enrolled now, it's a good time to review how much of your paycheck you're contributing and whether you can afford to increase those contributions, especially since the contribution limit this year jumped to $22,500. Aside from workplace benefits, you can also set up auto investing for your IRAs and brokerage accounts. Money's investing editor, Malika Mitra, reports that most major investing platforms allow you to do this, and you can often set up the interval of the transfer, such as per paycheck, monthly, and quarterly. This type of investment strategy is known as dollar cost averaging, and it allows you to skirt timing the market. It's also an easy way to keep up with your investing goals without having to think much about them. You can set it and forget it. Number three, know where to get assistance for sky-high heating bills. Even though the Arctic blast that plummeted temperatures for almost the entire country has passed, we're not out of the woods yet. After all, the official winter season is only a couple of weeks old. And according to the old Farmer's Almanac, this winter is supposed to be especially bone-chilling, with the coldest stretch for much of the country starting this month. With exceptionally cold winters comes exceptionally pricey heating bills. Money's senior writer Sarah Hansen reports that the heating bill for the average household is predicted to soar 17% this winter compared to last year, which was already an abnormally expensive year. An unexpected jump that large can weigh heavily on people's wallets. Luckily, financial assistance is available in certain cases to get you through the coldest parts of the year. The Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program is one federally funded option that's administered by individual states to people who meet certain income thresholds or are already enrolled in other government benefits programs. Hansen reports that several states, including Connecticut, Minnesota, New Hampshire, and Rhode Island, are expanding their programs for residents to combat soaring energy costs this winter. Number four, shop around for an electric vehicle. If you've been thinking about buying a new electric vehicle, now could be the perfect time to start searching more seriously. As of January 1, enhanced tax credits for certain electric and plug-in hybrid vehicles are in effect. Through the Inflation Reduction Act, you could qualify for a tax credit of up to $7,500 if the new electric vehicle you purchase was manufactured or assembled in the U.S., so long as you earn less than $150,000 and the vehicle you purchase costs less than $80,000 for vans, trucks, and SUVs, or $55,000 for all other vehicle types. Most electric vehicles are not made in the U.S., so that limits many popular models from being eligible for the credit. However, the U.S. Department of Energy has released a list of more than 40 models that could qualify. Examples include 2022 and 2023 Nissan Leaf, 2022 and 2023 Tesla Models 3, S, X, and Y, 2022 Audi Q5, and 2022 and 2023 Chevy Bolt EV. All the more reason to ramp up your search now. The U.S. Department of the Treasury is slated to release additional battery requirements in March that will further limit which models could qualify for the credit. Industry publication Electrex notes that the Chevy Bolt EV, which is currently one of the cheapest electric cars on the market at around $25,000, may qualify for the $7,500 credit now, but not when the new battery criteria are released. It's worth noting that not all models on the Department of Energy's list are guaranteed to be eligible for the tax credit. Sometimes manufacturers produce the same model at different international plants. To double-check exactly where the electric vehicle was assembled, find the vehicle identification number, or VIN, of the car and plug it into the Department of Transportation's VIN decoder for more information about a particular vehicle's plant of manufacture. For now, the tax credits aren't applied at the time of purchase. Instead, you'll receive the credit when you file your taxes in 2024. For purchases made in 2024, the credit can be applied at the point of sale, meaning the credit will essentially become a discount off the sticker price. Excuse me. And next up from Kiplinger.com, when it comes to cash yields, cash is no longer trash. In a famous 2018 interview, Ray Dalio, founder of hedge fund giant Bridgewater, coined the phrase, cash is trash. What he was describing was an investment environment in which interest rates were so low that holding cash, cash equivalents, and many types of bonds made little sense because of low interest rates. His point was that investors were being forced into the stock market in an attempt to create some sort of positive return on their money. Well, times have changed, and so has DeLio's take on cash. In October, he declared on Twitter, "I no longer think cash is trash. This latest declaration is both good and bad news. Those who were forced into stocks and low-yielding bonds have sustained historic drawdowns in 2022. But for those who suffered ultra-low interest rates and earning almost nothing on their cash for years, the current situation might be a golden age of relatively high yields on lower risk assets. Bank deposits. Your money in the bank is FDIC insured up to $250,000 or $500,000 joint. Easily accessible and does pay an interest rate. However, on average, those rates have not kept up with the steep increases we have seen in the federal funds rate. Said another way, banks are taking your deposits, investing them in a yielding asset, and passing very little of that benefit on to you. Don't let them do that. Shop around at other banks and credit unions to compare rates. You will probably be surprised by the disparities. Websites such as bankrate.com can make shopping for rates quick and easy. Currently, you will find that a large institution such as Bank of America offers just 0.04% on savings compared to north of 3% at multiple smaller banks. Finally, don't forget the low-hanging fruit when it comes to managing your cash. If there is a material difference between the interest on your checking and savings accounts, keep more money in the latter, and only what you need for paying bills in the former. Remember CDs? Certificate of deposit can be found at most banks. They typically pay more than checking and savings accounts, but in exchange require your money to be tied up for a certain period of time before you can withdraw it. The issue here is the same as regular bank accounts. On average, they are not keeping pace in this rising rate environment. The average one-year CD is yielding well below a one-year treasury. Treasuries. So what do banks do with your deposits and CDs? They mainly buy U.S. Treasury notes, notes and bonds guaranteed by, you guessed it, the U.S. Treasury. Currently, with the flattened and slightly inverted yield curve, they only need to go out a year to maturity to get north of a 4% yield. By funding it with your checking account that yields next to nothing, they're raking in a lot of free money. If you're not happy with your bank rates, consider skipping the middleman and buying the treasurer yourself. They are not as liquid as a bank account, but even though they come with a certain maturity date, they can be sold on the secondary market if you change your mind or need access to the money. But understand that while they pay par at maturity, their prices can fluctuate up until that point. Money market. Money market refers to highly liquid and short-dated debt instruments issued by governments or commercial institutions. Some banks offer money market accounts, but they can also be accessed through mutual funds. On the yield spectrum, they typically dwell below the federal funds rate, but above a regular checking or savings account. They are priced in $1 increments and have very rarely dipped below due to their credit quality and short maturity. Most, but not all, of the funds are covered by either FDIC or SIPC. Conclusion: it may take a little work, but seeking a decent yield on your cash is well worth it in this new era of high interest rates. Successful cash management is not as exciting as picking the next hot stock or high-yielding asset, but its effects are material over the long term. From Kiplinger.com, Medicare costs to go down in 2023. Medicare beneficiaries are getting a rare bit of good news as their Part B premiums and deductibles will tick down next year under the government health insurance plan spent less than they projected in 2022. Unfortunately, the cost reduction beneficiaries will see in 2023 are much smaller than the increases they shouldered in 2022. But costs will also go down for Medicare Advantage and Medicare Part D prescription drug plans. At the same time, deductibles for hospitalization costs under Part A will be going up. If you're new to Medicare and wondering what these letters are all about, we'll get to that in just a moment. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services has announced the standard Medicare premiums for Part B beneficiaries will be $164.90 a month in 2023. That's down $5.20 from the $170.10 monthly charge in 2022, or about 3% less. The annual deductible for all Medicare Part B beneficiaries will be $226 in 2023, which is $7 less than the 2022 deductible of $233. CMS projects the average basic monthly premium for standard Part D coverage will be $31.50, which is compared to $32.08 last year. Because of the Inflation Reduction Act, beneficiaries with Medicare prescription drug coverage will pay less for their drugs, including a $35 cost-sharing limit on a month's supply of insulin. In addition, vaccines recommended by the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices will be covered by Medicare with no cost-sharing or deductibles. Medicare costs went up in 2022. The reduction comes after more significant increases in costs for 2022 compared to 2021. Then the premium went up 14.5%, or $21.60. The annual Part B deductible increased $30 in 2022 compared to 2021. CSS said the 2022 increases were attributed to rising health care costs and expected spending on the newly approved Alzheimer's drug, Aduhelm. Aduhelm's price tag was then put at $56,000 per person each year. However, drug maker Biogen later cut the annual price to $28,200. And Medicare decided to cover the drug only for people with diagnosis of mild cognitive impairment due to Alzheimer's who are participating in clinical trials. According to CMS, lower than planned spending on both Aduhelm and other Part B items and services resulted in much larger reserves in the Part B account of the Supplementary Medical Insurance, or SMI, trust fund, which can be used to limit future Part B premium increases. CMS also announced that starting next year, certain Medicare enrollees who were 36 months post-kidney transplant and therefore no longer eligible for full Medicare coverage can elect to continue Part B coverage of certain drugs by paying a premium. The premium in 2023 will be $97.10. Medicare Part B is the general insurance that covers items like doctors and other health care providers, outpatient and home health care, as well as medical equipment and preventive services like vaccines and yearly wellness visits. Part A covers inpatient hospitalizations, care in skilled nursing facilities, hospice inpatient rehabilitation, and some home health care services. It generally does not impose a premium. Part D provides prescription drug coverage through private insurance companies. The other option is known as Part C, or Medicare Advantage. This is a private insurance plan that takes the place of Part B and Part D. According to CMS, the projected average premium for 2023 Medicare Advantage plans is $18 per month, a decline of nearly 8% from the 2022 average premium of $19.52. Part A deductible rising. The Part A deductible for hospital admissions will increase by $44 in 2022 to $1,600. The Part A inpatient hospital deductible covers beneficiaries' share of costs for the first 60 days of Medicare-covered inpatient hospital care in a benefit period. For patients who are hospital for longer than 60 days, the coinsurance amount will increase to in 23 from $389 a day to $400 a day for the 61st through the 90th day of hospitalization, and from $778 a day to $800 the day after that. For beneficiaries in skilled nursing facilities, the daily coinsurance for days 21 through 100 of extended care services in a benefit period will increase from $194.50 to $200. Medicare beneficiaries may also choose to purchase a private supplemental insurance plan known as Medigap to help cover deductibles and co-pays. Part B monthly standard premiums apply for individuals who make $97,000 or less a year and couples earning $194,000. They are higher for people with higher incomes. For example, individuals who make more than $97,000 up to $123,000 and couples who make more than $194,000 and up to $246,000 will be charged an additional monthly premium of $65.90 for Part B and $12.20 for Part D. At the high end, individuals who make $500,000 a year or more will be charged an extra $395.60 for a total of $560.50 a month for Part B and an additional $76.40 for Part D next year. The income limits mark an increase over 2022 when standard premiums were applied for individuals who made up to $91,000 a year and joint filers who made $182,000. The extra charges are also known as the income-related monthly adjustment amount, or IRMAA. According to CMS, about 7% of Part B beneficiaries face these surcharges. In our last article today, and we will try to get all of this in, we may have to edit it, is entitled The Five Investment Resolutions to Make for 2023. New Year's resolutions are an annual ritual for many, with health-related resolutions among the most common. In the spirit of the season, investors should consider making and sticking to 2023 New Year's investment resolutions to lead to a healthier investment life. The following resolutions may reduce stress and improve investment performance. Number one, go on a media diet. The activity basis is a common behavioral factor among investors who closely follow the day-to-day or minute-to-minute activities in the market. Many investors would benefit from finding a healthier balance between being well-informed and being overly stimulated by market news. Investors who struggle to find that balance often trade more frequently than is advisable, leading to adverse performance and tax consequences. Number two, spend less time in echo chambers. Confirmation biases the tendency to seek evidence that supports pre-existing benefits and to interpret information in a way that supports an existing position. The echo chamber that comes from avoiding contrary viewpoints can lead to costly investment mistakes. Seeking contrary points of view is a necessary step in testing an investment point of view and an important and uncomfortable resolution for 2023. Number three, take an objective look at your portfolio. The new year is a logical time to evaluate your current investment holdings. Some recent winners may have benefited from a favorable market condition and may not be able to sustain their success. If recent success isn't sustainable, it may be time to look for opportunities to upgrade the holdings to an investment with superior prospects. The same analysis should be applied to less successful positions. Evaluating whether losing positions are likely to recover is a critical aspect of portfolio management. Oftentimes, recent laggards are tomorrow's leaders, but some investments that seem cheap today can get a lot cheaper. In a rapidly changing environment, it is important to be vigilant about winning and losing investment holdings. And this article will be edited due to time constraints today, but the last two categories are number four, make sure you ask the right questions about investments, and number five says to read a book about investing, which should also assist you. We've run out of time for today's episode of Money Manners. I hope you enjoyed it and hope you'll be sure and listen to us again next time. I'm Larry Wilson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.